Welcome everyone to our council meeting on Monday the 19th of April. Welcome to our viewers at home. I'm the acting mayor at the moment, which is why I'm sitting in this seat. Our usual chair, our mayor Dean Winter, is on a leave of absence. So I'd like to declare the meeting open tonight and welcome everyone in attendance. And advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. And in accordance with council's policy, I request confirmation that the audio recording has commenced. Thank you, General Manager. I would like to start by acknowledging the traditional custodians of this land and pay respects to elders past, present and emerging, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Attendees tonight, we have Councillor Flora Fox, Councillor David Grace, Councillor Amanda Midgley, Councillor Christian Street, Councillor Steve Woss, Councillor Paula Reach, and myself, Councillor Westwood. And our staff, we have General Manager Gary Arnold, we have our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. John Breen, we have our Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr. Daniel Smee, our Director of Environment, Development and Community, Dr. Katrina Stevenson, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms. Sam Adams, our Customer Services Coordinator, Ms. Kelly Nichols, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs. Amanda Morton. And apologies tonight, we have Councillor Dean Winter, Councillor Sue Bastone, and Councillor Gideon Cordova. So I'd like to ask if we have confirmation that the minutes of the open session of Council's meeting number 6 held on the 7th of April 2021 be confirmed as a true record. Moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Reet. Thank you. Workshops held since the last... all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
All those against? Minutes are carried. Thank you. Workshops held since the last Council meeting. On the 12th of April, we had a hazard management area policy workshop. Any declarations of interest? Does any councillor have a declaration of interest they'd like to declare? No declarations of interest. Does any councillor have an agenda item they would like to transfer? Nope. Moving on then to questions without notice from the public. We do have a couple of people here with us tonight. Does anyone have a question that they'd like to ask? No? Okay. Questions on notice from the public. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice. Please do feel free, though, to send in any questions that you have, and we can address them as part of our upcoming council meeting in a fortnight's time. Questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor have a question? Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor Westwood. I have a couple of questions, and the first one's in regards to the bylaw consultation. I'm wondering when this is occurring and what is the process for this?
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Mr. Smee, do you have an answer on that for us, please?
Through the Chair, we have our draft bylaws currently with DPAC for preliminary review, and once we get the all clear from DPAC, we will be going out to consultation. So I would expect that to be within the next couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in regards to what is the status of the Spring Farm pathway?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Acting Mayor, if you're referring to the pathway that is to be developed by the developer, we are awaiting the lodgement of a development application for that particular piece of infrastructure, but my colleague may have an update on that.
The application was lodged late last week and so is now going through the assessment process. It's very early days, so I can't provide any further information than that, but I do imagine it will end up before council.
Thank you. The next few questions relate to an email that councillors were sent to regarding accommodation changes for staff. I note there was staff moving from Y space and staff moving to Y space. I'm wondering what is going to be available in Kingborough as a youth space for young people?
So it's through you, Chair. It's simply shifting all the activities currently undertaken by community services down to the hub. The space that is at Y Space is not used actively. It's not a drop-in centre. It's only for programmed activities, which we can program in the Middleton Room, the Whitewater Room, or the auditorium of the hub.
Thank you. So just to be clear, there won't be sort of a designated youth space at the hub. It will just be using rooms as available.
Yes, we're still working through the implementation plan, but I can't see that there will be a room that's available at all times, but there may be a room that's available at set times, like afternoons or during school holidays. So, but we have to work through that detail yet.
Thank you. And a further question regarding our youth services. So will there be any changes in regards to the youth services team, and will the youth services still be doing outreach across the Kingborough community?
There'll be no changes.
Thank you.
Councillor Grace, a question from you.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Firstly, again, a question regarding the General Manager's monthly report. I note, Mr. General Manager, you've met Metro CEO three occasions. Has the snug bus shelter been raised as yet?
Through you, Acting Mayor. Councillor Grace, we've not received a response from Metro in relation to the snug bus shelter.
Okay. Can I request through you, Acting Mayor, can you have it on your agenda to speak to him about it? Is that feasible?
General Manager.
Through you, Acting Mayor. Councillor Grace, I've actually written to the CEO of Metro and I'm waiting a response on that very matter.
Okay, we'll wait and see. Second question is, when will Council be opening up the gallery for the public? As I understand, it's closed, you have to register. Is that going to happen soon? Because it seems to me that this COVID thing now is a lot better.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. I suspect I know the answer, but I'll hand over to Mr. Smee.
Thank you. Through the Chair, whilst the situation in relation to COVID in Tasmania is very good at the moment, the state government regulations with respect to density limits do remain in place, and that does restrict the number of people we can have in the gallery, and hence we do need to continue with a registration system until such time as the government regulations are changed. So we have no time frame on that, and we have an obligation to adhere to those regulations.
These are questions, Acting Mayor, that I've been asked from the public. My final question is, well, what's the limit on the new playground? Is this, 1,500, 2,000, maybe 3, I'm told, running around the playground, and there is no COVID restrictions or any facilities for them to do their hands with?
Mr. Smee.
Through the Chair, the restriction in relation to the playground is essentially one that relates to the requirement to remain 1.5 metres from another person. That is an individual responsibility. It's not one that Council can police. And as I've indicated, there are state government regulations that apply, but there is a responsibility on each and every one of us to ensure that we adhere to those regulations. So with respect to the playground, that is the regulation that applies, and that is to remain 1.5 metres apart. And I'm aware that that's not always practical, and that's also taken into account in the regulations, in that there is a rider that says we're practical.
So there's a loose end to that. It's just that people are concerned about the number of people side by side and kids tearing around on the park. So that's why I raised the issue. But thank you to Mr. Smee. Obviously, we're working within the guidelines.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Yes, we do have a COVID safety plan for the playgrounds. Any other questions from councillors? I had a couple. I guess just following on from the playground and the community hub generally speaking, I'm aware that we've now got a commercial tenant selling coffee over at the community hub 7 days a week. Will this impact other food vans? Is there a plan to limit the vans to just food vans and not coffee vans?
Through you, Acting Mayor. The pilot program was due to come to an end at the end of this week anyway for the food vans, and in consultation with the new vendors in the King's Quarter space, the coffee van will cease trading immediately, so we'll just have the food vans. It's a small outlet at the moment, mainly just providing coffee. Going forward, a number of council staff are working on a more strategic approach to our food vans, including partially driven by a lot of interest and demand following the pilot project. So there, we've had a number of new approaches for food van licensing, and people are very keen to access that site going forward. But we don't envision that's an everyday occurrence. It's likely to be around holidays, but that will be part of a broader look at where we site food vans, and we'll be bringing that to council.
Thank you, Dr. Stevenson. One final question. How many CCTV cameras are currently installed in the Kingston Park area, and how many additional cameras are still to be installed? Mr. Smee.
Acting Mayor, we have cameras in Goshawk Way, and we have cameras around the hub. I would estimate there's probably a dozen cameras currently in place. Staff met with the supplier of the cameras that are going in the playground this morning, and we have finalised the design and locations of them, and there'll be an additional 18 cameras going in with a direct feed to the police station.
Fantastic, thank you.
Just one other question I forgot to raise.
Another question, Councillor Grace?
I raised a question about the Bruny Island project, and I did raise the question about how many of the men were on actual leave at the time of the machinery was there. That has not been answered.
What's the question, Councillor?
The question is how many of the workers were away on annual leave or annual leave, I believe, while that project was in place.
General Manager?
Through you, Acting Mayor. Councillor Grace, we're happy to take that question on notice.
Thanks, Councillor Grace. There being no more questions without notice from councillors, questions on notice from councillors, we had on page 2 a question regarding the Snug Creek Walkway Bridge from Councillor Grace, and an officer's response to that on page 2. On page 3 we have a question regarding the food van policy from Councillor Wass with an officer's response. We had a question regarding restricted access to Connolly's Beach from Councillor Bastone with an officer's response. A question on the speed limit on Missionary Road from Councillor Bastone and an officer's response to that. A question on the installation of outdoor PowerPoints from Councillor Bastone with an officer's response on page 3, and then 2 more questions from Councillor Bastone. A traffic counter on Thomas Road, Woodbridge, and the issue of abatement notices for clearing of vegetation with officer's responses on page 4. Petitions still being actioned at this at the compilation of the agenda, there were no petitions still being actioned. Petitions received in the last period, At the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received, and I've missed the notice of motion, so you might just go backwards a couple of steps. Apologies. We do have a notice of motion from Councillor Midgley regarding a play space at Spring Farm or Whitewater Park Estates. So hand over to you, Councillor.
I would like to second that motion. Thank
Seconded
you.
By Councillor Fox. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Fox, for seconding. So following the council meeting in March, which discussed the development of walking track in Spring Farm and Whitewater Park Estates to connect Huntingfield with provisions of open play space in these areas, Acting Mayor and I met with the organiser of this petition to discuss how to address the matter of a play space in Spring Farm and Whitewater. As we all know, land sales are going well at the moment in Kingborough, and Council has fortunate timing to have some of our land for sale at the moment and selling at the moment, and one of these being the Mount Pleasant land, which I'm aware sold for over $400,000. The intent of the sale of this Mount Pleasant land was to upgrade Willow Bend Park, which is a great asset to that local community, and the approximate cost of this upgrade, as I've been advised from staff, is approximately $200,000. Council staff have then identified that there will be approximately $200,000 left to be placed in the open, in the public open space funds from the sale of this land. So the intent of this motion and advocacy from the great community members is to request that the remaining funds from the sale of Mount Pleasant land to be allocated towards the development of a play space and passive recreation provision within the Spring Farm or Whitewater area. Ideally, it would have been great if the developer did this as part of the subdivision, but due to the planning scheme and requirements, it is up to council to allocate this, and people are to build this playground space, and it is part of our public open space strategy. And also people are buying into this estate knowing that one day council will provide a local play space. We have a magnificent playground only a few kilometres away, and we do know that it is so well loved by the community. But for those with young children or, you know, children probably up to 10, to walk or to cycle to that local playground, you can probably get there. But then it reminds me of when I had my kids walking, you know, 3 kilometres down the road to a play space or the local beach in Howden. The journey home on a walking or cycling was often not pleasant and was a bit more difficult. And I'm sure you'd probably have to catch a taxi back if you did walk or cycle there. Although I have vague memories of trying to get my kids home, and it wasn't very fun. So I guess really what I'm trying to say is that having something local to where people live, local to where families with young children and children can walk to, would be ideal, and I think it's a. I hope that councillors really support and understand the benefit of having something locally based. During COVID lockdown, we also were really reminded of that local living and the importance of local living and the importance of knowing your neighbour. And playgrounds and local play spaces really provide such a benefit for that, where young parents or parents can gather, grandparents can gather, they can get to know other kids. Sometimes, you know, neighbours sort of don't always, you know, talk to each other, but in an open communal space, people have different conversations. And that's really great as well for the health and wellbeing of parents. It's that takes the village to raise a child, and I think a local play space really, really embodies that. And it also can provide a sense of safety as well, as people get to know their neighbour and they can ask for help and, you know, those little things are running out of sugar. So we're very lucky to have Mr Bain as a local community advocate and providing a voice for the many families that are living in Spring Farm and Whitewater. I'm aware he's in the audience tonight as well. And also just wanted to read Mr Smee's staff comments in regards to what I see as support for this motion, so I'd like to read that out. So once the upgrade of the Willow Bend playground has been completed, there will be around $200,000 in remaining funds. In accordance with Council's resolution of 26th of October 2020, it was intended that these funds will be placed in the public open space account. The allocation of the balance of proceeds of the sale of the Mount Pleasant land to the development of a play space in Spring Farm or Whitewater Estate is in effect expenditure of public open space funds for which the proposed purpose is justifiable. Council's intent in selling parcels of surplus land was to bring forward the upgrade of local play spaces, and the proposal is in line with the strategic direction. So thanks again, Mr. David Bain, for the advocacy for local parents, families and grandparents, and also for all those people who have taken the time to email councillors to remind us of the importance of having a local specific play space within good walking distance and cycling distance for the many growing numbers of families. I don't know if any councillors have driven or ridden or walked around there, but it is such a growing area and so many families are moving there. So I hope that you'll support this motion.
Thanks, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. And I would like to thank Councillor Midgley for raising this issue, and I have also received a number of emails from the local residents in the area who expressed the concerns and wishes that Councillor Midgley has expressed. I know that as a councillor we used to have a policy that we have a playground within 500 metres of every house. And I don't know whether we can achieve that, but I think that is the ultimate aim, so that people can walk to their playgrounds with babies, with children, and also elderly people can get together and talk to each other in a communal space rather than having to share each other's homes for that or to get in the car and drive somewhere. And I noticed today when I was driving through the subdivision there that there are a lot of new residents, people that come from overseas even, building and buying houses or properties in that area. Also, quite a number of elderly residents who are planting trees and doing their landscaping and gardening. And quite a lot of tradie vehicles, of course, either because they're buying into the area because they like it or because they're still working on the homes. But I do think that the younger generation that's moving into that area, they're going to have families and they're going to appreciate having a playground sooner rather than later. And if we can do it now, I think we'll get so much more benefit from that particular playground, and I think it's going to have long-term benefit in community building as well as socialising and building those relationships, as Councillor Midgley said, and I thoroughly recommend the motion. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Fox. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. As many of you are aware, I'm a local resident in Spring Farms. This is particularly exciting for me and particularly exciting for the area, and I thank Councillor Midgley for bringing it forward, and also to David for his advocacy around the issue as well. I think it would be fair to say that we did particularly well out of the land sale at Mount Pleasant Road, better than we were hoping for, and one of the great outcomes from that is that we do have surplus funds that we can put towards this project. As Councillor Midgley has said, this is never going to be a replacement for the playground at Kingston Park, but that's not the intention. The intention is to get play spaces close to where people are living so that everybody has access to something. And I think that's really, really important. Our larger play spaces are always going to be there, but having something that's close to people's houses is really important. And I think it's really important, especially in what is essentially a new community, and the size of it and location of it almost creates a new suburb. So having those community links and those places, as Councillor Fox says, where people can come together and meet each other is really important too. So this is quite exciting, I think, for the area, and for me as a resident it's quite exciting as well. So I'm really pleased to put my support behind the motion, and I thank everybody involved for bringing it forward.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I also support Councillor Midgley's motion. I think, as Mr. Smith summed up, that it's in the strategic direction that Council is taking, and happy to support it. I see the benefits in play centres and parks, in the sense it's all inclusive, people can get together, and it's important that they meet in their own area in particular, so that there are, if you like, all friends that A, have not met, or B, are about to meet, and it does make, at the end of the day, a more prosperous part of the community. And most importantly, people talk about it, because if they're happy and they talk about living in harmony with their neighbours and having this in their community, and also in the sense of having down the road, three clicks away, Kingston Park, that spurs other people on to think, well, should we also move to Kingborough? And we all know it's the best place to live. The thing I would like to see from staff in addition to this is other areas, because I believe we need to prioritise other areas where this is not the case. And I know Huntingfield and Whitewater Park has a significant population, but of course, and we don't want to say that we're going to do it, because I'm sure the state government of the day will say, beauty, we'll leave it to you, but we're going to have another one virtually across the road in Huntingfield very shortly. And it's most important that those people also don't miss out, so we need to get on our bike and push, if you like, the state government in all directions, because it's their subdivision and they need to provide it. But there are other subdivisions within Kingston which, if you like, are suburbs or part thereof, and some of those do not have a park anywhere close to them, and I think we need to look at those, and we need to... No, I'm not suggesting we build them tomorrow, but I think we should have a strategic direction as to where we go and how we're going to tackle it. And I think we can look at other places like Margate, which 2 years ago was the fastest growing township in the state, and they have Drew Point. They have a couple of little parks, but nothing significant, and to go to any of those, depending on where you live, could be a cut lunch journey. So from that point of view, we've got to consider those too. But, but all in all, I do support, and I will support, vote for this recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. For my contribution, I just wanted to echo the sentiments of my colleagues on Council, and I think this is a really great example of advocacy by the community. So we had someone who lived in Spring Farm who identified a clear need for an outdoor play space. They created a petition. I've got it here in front of me. It had over 500 signatures, 546 people who signed up, and I have looked at it, and most of them are from that area, which is really pleasing to see. So thank you to everyone who advocated on behalf of your area of our municipality, and I can certainly see the need for an outdoor play space. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. Like others who have spoken, I support this. I think that's it would be a terrific addition to the area. And I just got a couple of practical questions, though. I'm just interested in... do we actually have some land we can put this park on? We do. Can Mr. Smee perhaps just... Can you just tell us a little bit about the land and whether we have done any concept plans, or do we have a cost estimate? I've got a raft of questions.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Acting Mayor. So the subdivision did set aside some open space, and that open space has been assessed as being suitable for the installation of a playground. In terms of costing, it's kind of like how long is a piece of string. You could put a substantial playground in. $200,000 will give us enough money to put an appropriately sized playground for the area that potentially could be built on in the future. But certainly... $200,000 will give council sufficient funds to be able to do something meaningful in the location.
And I wasn't clear from the response in the report as to where this would sit then in relation to other playground upgrades that were planned that following the playground audit. So by passing of this motion tonight, does this jump over others and head to the top of the queue?
Mr. Smee.
Through the chair, it's a really good question, Councillor Reid. And I do need to flag that our urban designer has a number of projects on the go at the moment, most of which are in the playground space. And this development of a playground within the Spring Farm estate will require a design and community consultation, and all of that takes time. So I did discuss with him today, because he asked the very same question as to, okay, if this gets up tonight, what does that mean in terms of the priority? And, you know, it may be that given the impetus behind this one, we actually have to do this ahead of, say, the Willow Bend playground upgrade, which we've already committed to. You know, that's a discussion that we need to have. But I do need to flag that if this gets passed tonight, it will take some time before we are actually able to start constructing a playground at that site.
Okay, so I wasn't expecting you to say that last piece, that this might actually... So if we pass this tonight, this potentially is going to surpass the Willow Bend 1 upgrade, which has already been announced, which residents who use that park are going to then be disappointed. Don't get me wrong, we need a this area needs a playground, but what we're doing now is we've just had a playground audit, and we're potentially, after having announced one project, potentially going to put this in on top of the others. It doesn't seem very equitable, and I'm sure that residents who use the Willow Bend Park, of which I used to be one when my children were young, they're not going to be very happy to know that their promised upgrade is now potentially going to be delayed because we have been petitioned and we see that there is a need for this. I was working off the assumption in this that it would be in the queue and not overtaken, because my other concern would be that in the playground audit there were some safety issues and other things that were identified. So potentially this is going to... A new project is going to come on top of ones that have been identified as having safety issues. Is that a possibility?
Mr. Smee.
Through the chair, the audit didn't identify safety issues. It identified issues with respect to contemporary expectations. We do an independent safety audit of all our playgrounds on a regular basis for safety purposes. The audit that was undertaken by our urban designer was in respect to items that you could expect to see in a modern day playground, and they include shade and accessible pathways and seating, etc. So rest assured that there's not unsafe playgrounds out there, because we simply could not carry that risk, and for that reason we have regular audits. So it's not a case of safety being compromised, but yes, as you say, there is only so many we can do at a time. This is adding to that queue, and the question as to whether it needs to be brought forward is certainly one that we will need to give some consideration to.
Okay. What are you able to identify what the planned upgrades for Willow Bend Park were? Is it shade? Was it going to be additional equipment, replaced equipment, or
Mr. Smee?
Through the chair, without having the audit in front of me, my understanding it is a combination of both of those things that you referred to. But as it is an existing playground, it does have a level of amenity. The audit identified that improvements could be made to it, and for that reason it was identified as being an appropriate location to divert the funds from the proceeds of sale to.
Okay. I always get a little bit confused about the way that we manage our capital works program as well, and I guess because I've come from state government where things were prioritised based on a number of criteria, yet in local government things seem a lot more flexible. So in terms of something just all of a sudden a new project coming in over the top of ones that have been waiting and waiting and waiting. So I guess I'm a little concerned that we are mucking around with a program that was the result of an audit in order to bump this one further up. And that doesn't seem fair to people who are expecting the upgrades of other playgrounds. So don't get me wrong, I support this, I will vote for it, but I'm uncomfortable with the notion that this will jump other ones that have, particularly like Willow Bend, that have already been announced. I don't think that that's very equitable. So I do need to say that. Having said that, I appreciate the passion of Mr. Bain and for all the families who have written about this. I think it's great. I just wasn't expecting it was going to jump the queue.
Thanks, Councillor Reach. I have a question. I assume I can ask them at any stage as the Chair, can I? In the officer's response, it says, once the upgrade of the Willow Bend playground has been completed, there will be around $200,000 in remaining funds. So I guess my expectation was also that the motion tonight was asking for any remaining funds from the sale of the Mount Pleasant land after we've spent money on the Willow Bend playground, and so I guess in my mind I was thinking that we would be upgrading the Willow Bend playground first. Is that correct?
Acting Mayor, that was certainly our intention. I guess what I was flagging was some caution in respect to expectations that tonight there'd be a decision and tomorrow we'd start work on the new playground. But certainly taking the feedback from tonight that the announced playgrounds are the ones that we should be doing first, that's what I will be referring back to our staff.
Thank you. Councillor Grace?
Look, I support this. I mean, it's a bit like Snug when we were debating all that. Jumping the queue, well, we've done that many times now. I'm lost at what we have jumped ahead of other projects in our capital works. But back to what Mr. Smee has said, we passed this tonight, and no doubt, hopefully, it will get passed. There is a huge time frame, the time the development application is advertised, a design is done, consultation's done. So get the ball rolling and at least get the consultation and the design underway, so when that other project's finished, then it comes online. Simple as that.
Thanks, Councillor Grace. Councillor Midgley, would you like to close?
Thank you, Acting Mayor, and thank you, everybody. I was heartened to hear councillors' comments and support for this, valuing play for children and valuing connection for community. And thank you, Councillor Reach, for the points that you have raised and clarification from Acting Mayor in regards to that Willow Bend is, from what we've read, and what's noted is that Willow Bend is that priority and the remaining funds would go towards the Spring Farm Whitewater Playground. And thanks, Councillor Grace, for that reminder, for that clear communication to the community in regards to the expectations that we do often talk about when we do support a motion, that there is clear communication in regards to that we have a playground strategy, we've identified a number of playgrounds and where I guess this play area will sit. I guess the community has been advocating and why the petition was put forward in the first place, because it's a gap, it's something that needs to be done and something that needs to be put on the list. So in us supporting this tonight, it's put on the list as something that council will work towards, which actually wasn't anywhere on the list. So that's how I see it, and thanks everybody. Looks like a good support.
Thank you. So in response to the notice of motion, or the motion put forward by Councillor Midgley, all those in favour, please say aye. All those against? And the motion is carried unanimously. I did cover petitions before. There are no petitions being actioned, and at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. So that brings us to officers' reports to council. The first report is in relation to 26 Hollyhock Drive, Kingston, with a recommendation on page 10. That recommendation currently notes that a council decision is required. Do I have someone who would like...
I'll move it. You want to move... You want a motion... Move what?
Well, we actually... I need a councillor to move one of the options noted at 9.5.
Yeah, 9.5. I move agree in principle to the request transfer.
Thank you, Councillor Grace.
I'll move that.
I have a seconder for that? Would any councillor like to move an alternative recommendation?
I would remove. The wording in the motion isn't very clear, but I would like to move that we refuse the request.
Thank you. So we have Councillor Fox moving that council refuse the request to transfer the land at 26 Hollyhock Drive, Kingston. Is that accurate, General Manager?
That sounds good.
Thank you, Councillor Fox, and seconded by Councillor Midgley. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'd like to raise the point that on page 8 there is an illustration of this property on Hollyhock Drive. It was very unclear from this document to work out exactly where the land was, but I understand there is a house in the middle of the lot 230, which is one of the original farmhouses. The area of land in question is full of very beautiful mature trees, being Eucalyptus ovata forest and woodland, which is actually a protected vegetation community with high conservation value, and these trees provide foraging habitat for the critically endangered swift parrot. The subdivision occurred with full knowledge of the owner and a lot of consultation with the council and both the developer and also the developer's staff and council staff. And the outcome was that this land be protected and that would be form part of the subdivision. I find it amazing that it has now come back to this council for a decision. I have never seen this happen as long as I've been on council. I find it quite distressing that something of such significance should be asked to be removed. Obviously, there were compromises made when the land was taken. In fact, council asked for a lot more public open space originally, and that was some of it was taken away by the planning tribunal. But what we have left is so critical and so important that I think this request is completely unacceptable. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Would any other councillor like to speak on this? Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I also support everything that Councillor Fox said, and I did drive to the land and had a look on the weekend, and it's a beautiful piece of land, and one of the reasons why I actually stood for council was to see the devastation and loss of the vegetation community in the Spring Farm and Whitewater area. I didn't actually realise the value of this particular piece of land, that it has such high conservation trees and foraging habitat for endangered swift parrot, but it's good, I guess, that it's brought before us so I can actually see the value and insignificance of this land. I'm sorry for the land holder that there was a mistake and it was not picked up by themselves or the surveyor at the time. Land sales have certainly gone very well in this area, and many people are fortunate to live there, and this piece of land that they have makes it even more value for them to live there, knowing that there is such beautiful habitat within their local area.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Look, I'm only going to speak briefly on this matter. My reasoning for voting in favour of the motion is very simple, and that is that the requirement for the area that is Lot 500 to be retained as an environmental management zone and as public open space was part of the conditions of the subdivision of the entirety of the property. That was well known to the landowner at the time that it occurred, and the mistake, such as it is, with the boundary intersecting one of the improvements on the lot, was known well before the plan was sealed. Council had offered to rectify that issue in a minor way by ensuring that the improvements were inside the boundary, which would have been an appropriate, and in my view still would be, an appropriate resolution to the matter. However, the boundary adjustment that has been requested and the transfer of land that's been requested, I think is entirely inappropriate given the conditions in the original subdivision, or in the original development approval, and given the purpose for which Lot 500 was set aside as public open space to be managed by council. Again, if there were a further proposal for a minor boundary adjustment which fixed the issue of one of the improvements intersecting that boundary, I would retain an open mind about that matter. But as it's proposed to council, I simply can't support it.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Councillor Fox? Okay. That being the contribution from councillors, it has been moved by Councillor Fox that Council refuse the request to transfer the land at 26 Hollyhock Drive, Kingston. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? We have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Have Councillor Street, Reet, Fox, Midgley, Woss and Westwood. And those against, Councillor Grace. The motion is passed. That brings us to the financial report for March 2021. Do I have someone to move that Council endorses the attached financial report as at 31st of March 2021, please? Thank you, Councillor Street. And a seconder? Councillor Reet. Thank you, Councillor Street.
I'm happy for the matter to be discussed, Acting Mayor.
Thank you. I'm the one who normally asks the questions about this report. Would anyone like to make a contribution? Councillor Midgley?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I can make a few comments, and I'm sure you've got a few more. I guess there's some good things to note, really, that rates are 152k over budget. The garbage rates and the green waste collection are on budget, the garbage rate being 43k over budget. Can I just get maybe a bit of explanation about what that means? Are we producing more rubbish? Is that what it is?
Mr. Breen.
Through the chair, no, essentially it just means that when we set the budget figures, we base it on a certain set of assumptions, and those assumptions, particularly in regards to the number of people paying the garbage rate, end up being higher, the number end up being higher than we put in the original estimate.
Thank you. So could that be due to the number of, like, spring farm whitewater growing areas in our community as well?
Through the chair, look, essentially it's a combination of the original estimate and obviously the growth in the municipality has been a lot higher than expected.
Thank you. So the employee cost $232 under budget, and that's workers' comp and some Christmas leave. Is there any gaps or vacancies in staff areas?
Through the mayor, essentially there has been some delays recently in particular some particular professions getting people to fill current vacancies. One that's, I think, being advertised at the moment for, I think it was the second or third time, is a project manager. So there's been the odd position like that that's been quite hard to fill, and so we do have a gap. Generally, those gaps will save you some money, but there may be some additional costs on the other side of getting employers on board, whether it's costs of agencies assisting in filling the role, or if we're getting people from the mainland, we might have relocation costs. But certainly in the COVID environment, generally the positions are being filled from within the state, which is proving a bit hard to sort out.
Thank you. And looks like some great outcome from the dividends from Tazwater. Acting Mayor, I'm not sure if we need some more information in regards to that, or perhaps what the future of this might be.
Mr. Breen?
Through you, Mayor. Essentially, this year we budgeted for no dividend from Tazwater, and that was certainly the information we were getting at the start of the year. I think my understanding is they've re-looked at their finances and have indicated that they've certainly paid one quarter of the dividends, and they have made some noises potentially about a second payment, but I think that's very unclear. Moving forward, it's always a bit difficult because Tazwater certainly don't commit to any particular payment level. So I think our budget for next year of 50% payment, pretty confident that that will be at least the amount that we get back from Tazwater. Look, there's potentially we could get a bit more, but I think being a bit conservative, I think 50% is probably a fair estimate at this stage.
Thank you. And a question regarding the Public Open Space Fund. Can we at all get a breakdown as to where the funds are being spent? So I know we've got a number of great projects. We've just got one line item, Public Open Space, but could it be broken down so we can actually see what particular projects are coming out of that fund?
Mr. Breen.
Through the Chair. So essentially, the Public Open Space Fund there is the funds that are available. So we've made a recent change to say, look, as soon as we approve some expenditure, and the last lot was $250 for the Silverwater Park, we'll remove those funds from the actual listing here. So these are the funds that are available. So I'm assuming then you perhaps are asking about what we've spent past monies on. Is that what you're looking for?
I guess it would be good to know that we have a future projects that we are planning for, so somehow I guess they are located in another budget line for expenditure as well. So where are the public open space in the rest of the document? So we've got the funds available, but I guess then an estimate of what's coming out of it for the future year, and then what's actually being spent. That is captured somewhere. If I just missed that, or
Mr. Breen.
Through the Chair. Yeah, look, essentially that will be captured in the capital program. Certainly happy to go through and pull out the projects that are earmarked for public open space spending in the next 12 months. And some of it is subject to land sales as well, so we've got a bit of a mixture going on at the moment, but certainly happy to pull that out and put a small report together.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Street.
Just a question, Acting Mayor, in relation to the discussion item around staff costs. I've lost employee costs. Being under budget, one of the reasons given staff taking substantial annual leave during the Christmas and January period. I know that we had, well, not an issue, but it was just a fact that we've had a build-up of accrued annual leave across the organisation over last year because of the pandemic. Is that getting, or is that, how is that travelling in terms of getting back to a normal level?
In terms of our leave liability?
Yes, yeah.
Mr. Breen?
Through your Chair. You're right. So essentially, at the end of last financial year, we had quite a significant build-up, and that certainly continued on for the first 4 or 5 months of this financial year. I think everyone then had took the opportunity for the Christmas period, the school holiday period, to take
level of their annual leave. It's still higher than it was, certainly in normal terms, but certainly a lot of leave taken over the Christmas-January period, and my expectation is there will be a fair amount taken over this Easter period, Easter and the April school holidays. So we'll have a little bit more of an idea at the end of this month as to exactly how it's tracking, but my expectation is it will still be up, but it won't be up as much as it was at the end of last financial year.
Thank you, Mr. Breen and Councillor Street. I emailed through quite a few questions this morning to Mr. Breen, which he answered to my satisfaction. I guess picking up from Councillor Midgley's question in regards to public open space, I had a similar question. I guess it's just getting a bit confusing with the recent decision to sell some of our surplus land and invest the proceeds into public open space projects, predominantly the playgrounds. And I just wanted to have some clarification as well of how that would be reflected in the financial statements, and whether, so when a property is sold, does the money go into public open space and sit there until it's spent, or does it come straight out because it's already essentially allocated?
Through the chair. Look, essentially, we've changed our process now so that once there's a commitment for public open space expenditure, we remove that from the fund. So so what you're seeing in the report will be available funds. What I will do is mention to Councillor Midgley is perhaps put a listing together of these projects so we've got a nice concise little list of where the funds are coming from and what the funds will be spent on.
That would be really helpful. Thank you, Mr. Breen. I was asking about, under building maintenance, the graffiti removal budget wasn't looking like it was going to be fully expended, and whether there was a reason for this.
Yeah, through the chair. Essentially, we have budget allocations for graffiti removal in building maintenance, rec and reserve, and transport. So the building maintenance and the rec and reserve ones are well under budget. The transport one is a lot closer to budget. So I'm assuming that, particularly in regards to building maintenance, really for removal of graffiti on our own properties. So the assumption is that we're not getting a lot of that occurring. At the moment, there is, seems to be general graffiti which has been removed by the transport team.
Great, thank you. And then in terms of the efficiency dividend, I noticed under transport that there were quite a few savings. And was this due to the impact of the efficiency dividend?
Yeah, through the chair, essentially transport covered about 40% of the efficiency dividend. So the rest was across all various departments having small allocations, but certainly transport had the majority of the cuts in regards to the efficiency dividend.
Thank you. And then with the CapEx budget, an observation that we have quite a bit of the capital expenditure that was forecast for this year unexpended at this point in time and not committed. And I know Mr. Reeve is not here, but are you able to provide any kind of information about the progress of expenditure under the capital budget, please?
Yeah, through the chair. Essentially, with the capital spend, there will always be a significant proportion that's unspent at the end of each financial year. And that generally relates to projects that have been approved, but work hasn't been undertaken or work hasn't been finalised. So there'll always be a significant proportion of that. One of the things we are seeing this year is there has been a bit of a restructuring in regards to some of the projects on the basis of not being able to get available contractors to do the work, or not being able to get contractors to do the work at we consider to be a reasonable price. I think it's a trend that we've seen this year, and it's probably a trend that will continue on certainly for the next 12 months. So it will have a bit of an impact on our projects, but it's generally most of that's been seen in the building area rather than the road construction and maintenance area.
Thank you, Mr. Breen. Did any other councillor have a contribution?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Grace.
Yeah, I was going to raise the same question, Acting Mayor, about the expenditure. I just say again, and I just... I do want to stress this, that I hear unavailable contractors, yet I'm talking to contractors, and they're quite happy to tender, but there doesn't seem to be much come out for tender. When we do get tenders, we seem to get three or four tenders at each time. Then I'm told some contractors are refusing to tender for us. They don't want to tender for us because of the supervision. That's what they tell me. So they're things that we should be looking at. And as Mr. Bream has just quoted again, I mean, how many times have we advertised for a capital works project manager to see to our day-to-day works? I mean, we seem to get one and then they go missing, they leave and go somewhere else. So that is an impact that we're having. I mean, we're $14 million up unspent money, and we're only a month away from the end of the financial year. So what we need, I guess, and something that we had when we had the Engineering and Services Committee, which Councillor Wass was chair for many years, we achieved a lot better than this. That we would ask for a program. I think what happens, we give an allocation to a certain amount of money for different projects, but they're not listed in when they're going to come online that I can see. We seem to be behind the eight ball, even with design work. Anyway, I think it's something that we need to look at, or we need to look at no increase in rates this year because we can't spend the money we're getting off our ratepayers. But that's my input. Thank you, Acting Mayor. I know you enjoyed that.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I've just got a quick question on the compliance section. We've received an extra $8,000 in revenue from dog registrations. That's a lot of extra dogs in the municipality, or did we just totally underestimate? It just seems an unusual glitch. I don't think we've seen a rise like that or it being out by that much before.
Mr. Breen?
Yeah, through the chair. Sometimes the dog registrations can be a timing difference in regards to the budget and actual. Tends to be a little bit more towards the end of the year because people start paying their dog registrations quite early. I'm not sure whether that's a factor in this or not, so I'll take it on notice and get some more information.
So, okay, yeah, if you could. I mean, if it evens out, it does, but if not, we obviously need to revise that figure. If it's just that we all of a sudden have a lot of additional dogs, we obviously need to revise that figure for future budgets. And my other question was in relation to the recovered legal fees. I noticed we're still owed $11,250 that we're waiting. Are we anticipating that we will receive that in this financial year?
Mr. Bray.
Through the chair. But essentially, that's the budget allocation for this financial year. I know in the early part of the year, we were quite relaxed, like, given the COVID situation in regards to recovering legal fees. So I know they've sort of ramped it up in the last couple of months, but to date we haven't been able to achieve any recoveries at this point.
Okay, but that'll be pursued, and we hope that...
Yes. Certainly won't be lost. It's just a matter of a timing that it may go into next financial year.
Thank you.
Councillor Street, would you like to close? The recommendation is that Council endorses the attached financial report as at the 31st of March 2021, moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Reit. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion is carried. Now we move on to on page 72, the privacy policy, with a recommendation that council adopt the privacy policy 1.9, which is on page 74. Moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Reid. Councillor Grace.
I don't think I need to speak much about this because there has been, according to our there's been no changes to this policy. So I think we're all pretty well conversed and we've talked about some of the policies throughout some workshops.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Would any other councillor like to make a contribution or ask some questions about the privacy policy? I had one question in relation to the training that's mentioned at 4.2 of the report. What is the training that staff undertake in relation to the privacy policy? General Manager.
Thanks, Acting Mayor. The training that's undertaken commences at induction, so that any new staff member is made aware of all of Council's policies with particular reference to this particular policy. There is also a follow-up after induction as each Council employee is given training on our electronic record management system. And in addition to both of those, we do have targeted training from time to time if a need is identified, or indeed if there are any legislative changes that might impact the policy prior to a report coming to Council.
Thank you, General Manager. Councillor Grace, would you like to close? Closed? Okay. We have a recommendation that Council adopt the Privacy Policy 1.9, which was moved by Councillor Grace and seconded by Councillor Reid. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion is passed, or carried. We now move to fees and charges at the Community Hub, 16.4, with a recommendation that Council agree to increase the Kingborough Community Hub fees by 50%, as outlined in Appendix 2 of the report, and introduce new charges related to set-up and pull-down, AV and equipment use support, and kitchen hire.
You ask a question?
Mm-hmm. I've just asked for someone to move that recommendation first, Councillor Grace, unless you'd like to move to discuss. Can we do that? You can move to discuss if you'd like to, otherwise you can...
Yeah, just I'll move to discuss because okay. There's a couple of questions.
Seconded by Councillor Fox. Councillor Grace.
My question, Acting Deputy Mayor, is the fact that if we're going to increase it by 50%, and we're not getting anyone in there. I'm not quite sure what our figures are that we've actually... I know we've had a lot of trouble with COVID and we had to close it down, but by increasing it 50%, are we cutting our own tails off? Oh, that's the question I'd like answered.
Dr. Stevenson.
Through you, Acting Mayor. We're actually booked very well now, and in fact space is at a premium because we have the COVID vaccination clinic in the hub 3 days a week. We expect that when Kingston Park move out and the Whitewater room becomes available, it will be a very popular room. So we're not suffering particularly from a shortage of bookings at the moment.
Councillor Fox.
I have a question relating to this motion, and I'm wondering when the new fees would start. Would they affect existing customers, for example, the COVID injections, or is this something that's predicted to happen later?
Our intent would be to start in the new financial year, so it would affect the Department of Health, but with plenty of notice.
So they'd start in July. Thank you.
Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. One of the things that we need to do is to obviously be in the times, as Councillor Grace said, and I think it's time that we did in fact increase fees and charges, because if it's costing us money, we need to look very closely at it. And as Dr. Stevenson said, there is a good usage. I guess we can't work on COVID as being a reason that's going to be used, because in an ideal world, hopefully, that will be eliminated to some degree and there won't be a requirement for the state government to want to rent our room for 3 days a week for 6 months or whatever the time frame is. My concern, and certainly I've been on the other end where I've looked at leasing premises and things, and I've always found, and I look on page, 84, and I see there that we talk about a half day and 5 hours, and then we talk about 10 hours. It's always been my belief, and certainly a lot of businesses would charge a little bit less per hour for the 10 hours with the idea of attracting those 10 hours rather than being exactly double. And I'm just asking whether staff took that into consideration when they did it.
Dr. Stevenson.
Not specifically in this round, because we were looking at the existing fee schedule. So that would have been a matter when setting the original fees. We're simply proposing that all fees be increased uniformly. However, I would note that the some of the costs would be the same, you know, would carry through for 10 hours. That would suggest doubling is okay, and also that we can't use the room for any other bookings. So if you have 2 half-day bookings, you'd get the same amount as 1 full-day booking, and we do often get shorter bookings. But this paper doesn't contemplate those matters, because that was already part of the forming of the original fee set.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. The Hub, I have been there quite a few times due to the playground and the many events that are happening there, and was there, I think it was on Saturday, and there was so many different activities going on. It was fantastic. Yeah, it's great. We've had state government and other government groups paying, and I'm sure they're getting a very cheap rate at the moment than what they're used to paying at other venues. So it is needed, and we did talk about these fees being increased as the Hub progressed and COVID kind of put a bit of a stop to moving that forward. A few questions. What, when we talk about community group, what is the definition of what a community group is?
The discounted fees apply to registered not-for-profit groups, but also self-defined community groups that clearly don't have a business motive for their booking.
Okay. And so what do we do in regards to that, a small not-for-profit or a local group who, I don't know, might be a local neighbourhood group who might want to show a local film, just to connect community or something like that? Is, what are the fee waivers in regards to that?
So the scheduled fee is 50% of the commercial rate, but the general manager retains delegated ability to waive fees.
Okay. So again, this comes to that, I don't know, Dr. Stevenson, if you've been around me going on about this, but the venue grant idea, this would be another great example of community groups and things being able to apply for a venue grant. But anyway, that's just something that we are now capturing in our annual report in regards to if community groups are getting discounts, and it is actually captured. But I think then it might inspire some community groups to actually apply for the Hub if there was a venue grant of some sort. And have we consulted with community members or current people who are using the Hub in regards to these fees?
No, we haven't. I think we would engage if council are supportive of the fee change on the basis that they won't come in until July.
Okay, thank you. A few questions in regards to the surcharge and heating and cleaning. So the weekend or after hours surcharge, $50 flat fee. So what if, say, council was it fault in regards to, I don't know, not giving a code or things not working and things like that, would they still be charged?
No, if it was our error, we would not charge.
Okay, and would staff, they get paid for that, or is it toil, or I don't want to get into that nitty-gritty, but anyway, it's all good.
And we have currently advertised for casuals to help provide after-hours support to the hub.
So if it was a casual on a Sunday, that $50 wouldn't cover?
Anyone on a Sunday attracts penalty rates.
Yeah, so it would be double pay, so the $50, oh yeah, I guess, well, it might cover. What are, things like the cleaning charge of a $50 flat fee? So that means if we'd hired the and just didn't clean it, then we'd be charged a $50 flat fee. It doesn't seem enough.
The cleaning charge relates primarily to the use of the kitchen, so it's encouraging them to wash their dishes. Normal cleaning is already factored into the pricing.
Okay, thank you. That's all. Thank you.
Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I just had a question in relation to art exhibitions, because it just indicates here that the pricing for those are by negotiation, which isn't very transparent or helpful. And I'm just wondering how that actually works, for whether it be an individual private artist who wants to have an exhibition and sell paintings, or versus a community group who, you know, a painting group who might want to have an exhibition, and also then how it compares to, say, some of the Hobart venues like the Long Gallery or something for art exhibitions. Are we aware, because they're not very transparent with their pricing either.
Through you, Acting Mayor. The reason we've left it as to be negotiated is because art exhibitions usually go over an extended period, so your daily rates and your half-day rates don't really apply. They probably would be looking for a week or 2 weeks generally, and so there would need to be a fair bit of negotiation, because then we don't have the space for hire or for use for other groups, or we might have to dislocate other groups. So we felt the easiest way was just to keep to work through that on an individual basis, but there would be alignment with the fee schedule as much as possible, but, you know, with the ability to perhaps discount if it's a long booking and so forth.
Do you know whether what we have done in the past with art exhibitions that have been held there, how those fees have compared to other, you know, say the Barn at Clarence or the Long Gallery or something like that?
Art exhibitions we've had in the past, my understanding is that they've been ours and driven by us, so it's a bit different. We haven't had private driven ones. They tend to happen down at the Kingston Beach Hall, which is an arts hub.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I only have one question in terms of heating. $60 flat fee, I'm surprised. I'd like to know what the real cost is for heating and whether that would be summer or winter, and whether all spaces are treated the same, because some might have sunshine and not need heating, and others may do so, but I'm surprised it's not included in the fee.
The reason that we looked at introducing this was it wasn't really contemplated fully in the initial fee setting. It can have a significant impact. It's not designed to be cost recovered, but to make a contribution, and it largely applies to the auditorium.
Well, it doesn't say so in the report, and the auditorium is obviously a large space to heat, but even then, $50, would that cover for 1 hour, or is that for the whole day? It's not clear.
I'm happy to take that away for further review, the heating charge, but it was just designed to make a contribution towards the heating costs, as I said, not to fully recover those costs.
I have one,
Councillor Midgley.
One further question, Acting Mayor, and it's again related, Dr. Stevenson, to the youth space. And if we are hoping that we do get a high number of people renting the hub and the many great areas there, my concern is that when the youth services team, perhaps working in that area before, like you sort of plan a term, then you might plan your next term, you don't kind of plan for the whole year within the first term, that we might end up with no space available for young people within, because it's being so well utilised.
It's a little outside this particular paper, but as part of our implementation planning, we've already started talking about the need to reserve sites for community services programs, even if you're not... So we know that every holidays, for example, we will need space for our programs. Our Live Loving Locally is program well in advance. So the community services team are already working at mapping out their booking requirements to be able to deliver those programs.
Thank you.
Sorry, I've got one more question.
Yes, Councillor Wright.
Just in relation to the additional equipment, do we own that equipment and have somebody who provides the technical support, or do we outsource that and then just transfer the cost on? And I guess the second part of the question is, do people have the option of bringing in their own AV equipment and support?
We have a range of equipment that we own. AV is the most commonly requested, and so we do provide support and if that's part of the booking. So, but people can bring in their own equipment and their own staff to manage the equipment that we have.
Councillor Wath.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'd like to move the recommended motion with the following addition, and note heating flat fee is to be reviewed back to Council.
Sorry, could you just repeat that again for Ms Mort?
And note heating flat fee is to be reviewed back to Council.
You just got to get it. I'll second you. If
that's it. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you. So we've completed our discussion. Thank you, Dr. Stevenson, for that. That was very helpful, I think, to inform the upcoming debate. We have a recommendation moved by Councillor Wath and seconded by Councillor Grace that Council agree to increase the Kingborough Community Hub fees by 50% as outlined in Appendix 2 and introduce new charges related to set-up and pull-down, AV and equipment use support and kitchen hire, and note that the heating flat fee is to be reviewed back to Council. Councillor Wath.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Look, I think we're all around the room are well aware of the need to look at what fees we charge. I think there's agreement there that they need to be reviewed, and the review has been done. There is one question which was raised which I think is pertinent, that is the heating fee, that we need to get that right. And apart from that, it's a discussion point. We know it's got to happen, and this is the first of two increases as proposed, and we can certainly look at the next one when and as that arises. So I recommend the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Wath. Councillor Grace.
Yeah, I second it too. I agree, but I'm just saying we can monitor too, Acting Mayor. The defect is this... somewhere in the order of $212,400 a year, so we'll be looking at that very closely, I would imagine, if Dr. Stevenson can keep that in mind, so that if that starts jumping up too high, then we should then immediately readdress.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. For my contribution, I support the recommended motion from Councillor Wath. I do note that current higher fees don't cover material and services costs, and it's anticipated that the hub will be run at a deficit if the fees are not increased of $212,400. That is a lot of money, and it is a beautiful space that we have available for community members and government, commercial businesses, anyone who would like to hire it. the fees have been set at a very low rate to date, and I think it's appropriate that we do increase them. And I note that we do have a discounted rate, a 50% discounted rate for our not-for-profit educational and community groups to have access to the wonderful space that we have at the Community Hub, with discretion for the General Manager to consider the appropriateness of charging those community groups the fee. So I support the recommendation. Would any other councillor like to add anything to the debate at this stage? Councillor Wass, would you like to close?
Closed.
Thank you. So we have a recommendation moved by Councillor Wass and seconded by Councillor Grace that Council agree to increase the Kingborough Community Hub fees by 50% as outlined in Appendix 2 and introduce new charges related to set-up and pull-down, AV and equipment use support and kitchen hire, and note that the heating flat fee is to be reviewed back to Council. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion is carried. We now move to page 89, the Local Government Association of Tasmania General Management Committee vacancy. We have a recommendation that Council rescind the decision made on the 15th of March 2021 to nominate the Mayor, Councillor Dean Winter, for the Local Government Association General Management Committee position in the Southern Electoral District and nominate another councillor for the Local Government Association General Management Committee position in the Southern Electoral District. I guess at this stage, Councillor Fox?
I'd like to put myself forward.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Do we have any other councillors who would like to put themselves forward or any other nominations?
Well, I'd like Councillor to nominate Street. Councillor Reet.
Councillor Reet, do you accept that? Thank you. So we have Councillor Reet, Councillor Fox. Were any other councillors interested in putting themselves forward for this position? No. So I think that means... What does that mean? We have a vote. So Mr. Smee will distribute some pieces of paper for us to vote. Might need some pens for those councillors who are very tech-savvy and don't carry pens. Yes, you just vote for the councillor that you'd like to be nominated tonight. So we have either Councillor Fox or Councillor Reet. Mr. Smee will collect our little pieces of paper. And if you could count up those votes, Mr. Smee, and advise us of the councillor to include at point B in the recommendation, please.
Councillor Fox is successful.
Thank you. Do I have someone to move the recommendation as printed on the screen? Thank you, Councillor Grace. And a seconder? Councillor Wass? Thank you. Councillor Grace, would you like to speak to this?
I speak on it, the fact that Councillor Fox has been nominated by a vote. I guess we ask the same old question, are those destroyed?
Mr. Smee, are we destroying the ballot papers?
Acting Mayor, it's normally put as a motion that ballot papers be destroyed, so it'll be a C added to it. Thank you.
We'd like to add Councillor Grace C that the ballot... Okay. Thank you, Councillor Grace. So we're adding C that the ballot papers be destroyed. Thank you. Would any other councillor like to speak to this? No. Okay. We have a recommendation moved by Councillor Grace and seconded by Councillor Wass that Council A rescind the decision made on the 15th of March 2021 to nominate the Mayor, Councillor Dean Winter, for the Local Government Association General Management Committee position in the Southern Electoral District, and B nominate Councillor Fox for the Local Government Association General Management Committee position in the Southern Electoral District, and C that the ballot papers be destroyed. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, the motion is carried. That concludes our items for discussion in open session tonight. Thank you to those who attended in person, and thank you to those who have listened from home. We do welcome you to come in and attend our council meetings. You do need to register, but you are more than welcome. Alternatively, you are also welcome to have a cup of tea and listen in via Facebook from the warmth of your lounge room. So I now move to... in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes and applications for leave of absence. Do I have someone to move that? Thank you, Councillor Fox. Seconded by Councillor Midgley. Thank you. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Thank you. We will now move into closed session.